They must have been so pleased with themselves.
Oh, they must have been so smug.
It's like, guys, I've had the best idea. And then the whole team, you can just imagine them whooping and going around giving each other a high five.
And probably using a computer to shift left-hand Tom Hardy just enough.
Top 5 Face-Off contains adult themes and language that some people may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised.
He's Matt Hurst.
He's Matt Squirrel.
And this is Top 5 Face-Off, the official world ranking of everything. What are we ranking today, Hurst?
Well, Squirrel, today we're going to be ranking the top 5 adverts.
Ooh, that's coming right up after this.
If there's more than one, then there's a best and a worst. If there's more than 5, call Squirrel and Hurst. It's the Top 5 Face-Off. Actual facts. It's the Top 5.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or good night, rankers. Welcome back. And if you're new to the show, welcome.
Hello.
For our new ranker, Squirrel, why don't you tell them what we do here and why we do it?
New rankers, welcome to Top 5 Face-Off, where we take a random subject which is suggested by one of our Patreons, and we choose the top 5 and the worst thing from that subject. And then you, the ranker at home, you go to our website, top5faceoff.co.uk, and vote. Tell us which of us was correct. One of us is always correct. And the winning list becomes the official world ranking.
Excellent. Now, before we press on, we need to have a little chat with our rankers, because Squirrel's been playing around with some new things on the editing. Just last week, he started the intro music whilst we were still chatting, so that the lyrics kicked in just after he said, coming right up after this.
That's right.
I wasn't sure how I felt about it. And equally, his recent weeks, you've probably noticed, started putting in a little teaser at the beginning of something from the show.
Correct. A cold open.
Yeah, well, there you go. And I'm not sure how I feel about that as well. So what I think doesn't really matter, because it's not me that's listening to the show.
No, I'll go with the combined advice of thousands of hours worth of research.
Well, I think we should go with the advice of our rankers. Get them to vote on it.
Vote on it. How are they going to vote on it? You keep coming up with these fantastical ideas for things the rankers can see and do. I've yet to see you follow through on one of them.
How do they vote for the lists?
They vote because of the thing that I specifically wrote, so they could vote on which of the top 5s was correct.
Couldn't you just say yes or no on the same thing?
No! There's going to be 5 of them.
Oh, wow. Fair enough. All right. Well, let us know in the comments what you think.
So, anyway, what's the weather been like?
So, for me, the weather, what was notable to me was we finally had a day without rain 2 days ago. And then another came along right after it. And suddenly I'm acting like, spring's here. I'm out in the garden playing with the dogs, getting all excited about what gardening I'm going to do. And then today hits. And in fairness, it didn't rain again. But fuck me, dead was it cold. It was barely above 0. And last night, apparently, round our way, it was -3. So,
I've not been outside today, don't know.
A little bit worried about my lemon plant, as it's had to relocate.
Oh, no, not Lemony Snicket. It's been a while since we heard about Lemony Snicket. Presumably, he's pretty much hibernating right now.
Well, I bring Lemony in for the winter, because it's a lemon tree, and they're not really native to our conditions, so do it a favour. However, a couple of weeks ago, got a massive infestation of fruit flies, and it was sitting in our laundry room, and Carly quite reasonably said, get that fucking tree out of my laundry room, because there are flies everywhere and I don't want it in my laundry. And I took him back outside and said, right, bro, just don't die. So I've put him up against a wall so he can be a bit protected from the wind. We've not had any frost since, but I'm a little bit worried for Lemony, but I'm hoping that the nice weather's going to really kick in soon, and then he's going to blossom into an even bigger tree slash bush.
All right. Well, fingers crossed that works out. There we go. Going on at my end. Well, it's my dad's birthday today. Happy birthday, Dad. There we are. That's that solved. He doesn't listen. And I did some website shiz, speaking of the website. Now, all of Series 2, if you go and look at the episodes, you will see they all have transcripts. So you can read along with the toss, we say. Apparently, this is good for SEO, Hurst. I've also done other SEO stuff and up the performance and up the accessibility for our less able-bodied slash eyed rankers.
Wow, so you are on top of things.
Website shiz.
Well done you.
It will look exactly the same to 90% of people.
I'm impressed. Well, what's been going on this end? Big TFFO events. Obviously, you came up for Super Bowl, which we mentioned last time was going to happen, but has, of course, happened now.
Yeah, I guess that was less than 2 weeks ago.
It was indeed, and it was a good night for Seahawks fans, a bad night for Patriots fans. And
it was.
It was not the most entertaining game, but it was a Super Bowl.
It was great if you like defense, which no one does.
Yeah, except for ex-defensive players. They love ex-defensive players.
That's right.
Yeah, they had a good old chat about that. And then, in follow-up, the weekend after, the weekend just passed, Matt and Laura, off of Matt and Laura, friends of the show, came up to visit as well. And Laura confused herself into getting another Patreon membership, so they are no longer sharing. Not sure if they're going to vote separately now, but we are getting £2 a month from Matt and Laura, from Matt and Laura, friends of the show.
Yes, excellently. We're getting, I don't know how they want to spread it up. The first Patreon belongs to Laura.
Right.
The second one belongs to Matt and Laura. So I don't know if Laura's got 1.5 and Matt has a half, or how you want to work that out. But come on, Matt. Where's your second Patreon?
It's a male-female relationship, so she gets 1.5 votes anyway, so that adds up.
Oh, man. So that means she's got 1.75. This is complex shiz. Never mind. They could put something else on the wheel, though. That is entirely fine.
Yeah, bonus things on the wheel.
Mm.
It was, in fact, them that had the finger foods, so
they did have the finger foods.
Things to the wheel.
That's right. And this week is adverts. This was chosen by one of us. We're not entirely sure which one of us it was, but this has been on the wheel for a long time. We think it might have been Hurst because he was so excited when it came in.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's good. Anything been gripping your shit?
Yes. So I went to Cheltenham on Friday, drove to Cheltenham. Cheltenham's roughly 2 hours away from where I live. I drive to Cheltenham. I do the Cheltenham things. Our car runs on electrons. So while we're at this hotel in Cheltenham, where we were for a few hours, they have chargers in the car parks. We banged the charger into it. We came out, we left, we got home, la, la, la. Everything is happy. I stick the dog in the boot the day after and immediately realise that the charging cable is no longer in the car. It is still plugged into the charger in the car park in Cheltenham. So after a quick chat with the boy, thanks, boy, I will be going back to Cheltenham on Saturday to get the power cable. They were worth about £300. So,
Jesus.
Yeah.
You're lucky it was still there then.
Mm.
It's been gripping my shit.
You hit me.
Fucking trying to cancel subscriptions.
Yeah.
They make it so difficult. And then if you can find it with relative ease, the amount of times they try and persuade you not to cancel it out. What about if we gave it to you a bit cheaper? Would you stay? Well, first of all, you should have done that before if you could.
Mm.
And secondly, no. And said, what about if we gave you a couple of months off? Like, no, fuck off. I'm trying to get out of here.
Right.
They said, okay, do you definitely want to cancel? Then you're like, yeah, I do. It's like, are you not sure that you don't not definitely want to not cancel? You're like, I don't even, just let me go.
Let me out.
And that's not even the worst one. The ones where you have to actually phone them up to cancel.
Especially when it's the easiest thing in the world to sign up.
Yeah.
You barely need to know your own name to become a Netflix member, but to get out of it, well, I don't know why I'm picking on
Netflix. Could be any of them. That wasn't the one I was thinking about. Wow. So what's been making you feel old?
I went to the cinema, Hurst. I went to the cinema and I watched Lord of the Rings, the third one, because it is 25 years since that film came out. Wob, wob, wob. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the child has recently seen the first Lord of the Rings movie and decided that he liked it. So I'm like, well, the third one's coming to the cinema. We should go and watch that. And it's like, yes. So we go to the cinema to watch it. And it's the extended edition, which I'm not fussed about.
6 hours long, isn't it?
A mere 4 hours and 45 minutes.
Shitting hell.
The movie isn't quite that long, but it includes Peter Jackson, the director, talking about the film and what it was like to film it and stuff like that. Just basically dropped 4 or 5 fat spoilers and the child is like, in the cinema itself. So thanks, Peter Jackson. Hurst has been on me rankers for some time. He wants to do top 5 spoilers. And we have had something put onto the wheel. What was it? Top 5 plot twists, which is basically the same thing. So he's going to get his wish. I don't know how that was going to work. I'm probably going to come out a bit angry.
Yeah, it'll be funny though. It'll make me laugh a lot. So that's the main thing. know what's been making me feel old?
No.
Two things have been making me feel old. First one is a visual that you have right now. So I updated my contact lens prescription last year because I was finding it harder to see. And I've already got to the point, probably 6 to 8 months later, where if I'm wearing my contacts, I still need to put reading glasses on to have proper vision for seeing, you know, things like lists of adverts that I've ranked. So I've plonked those on and I've actually got Carly's on because I'm sitting in her office at the moment and I was squinting at my list. And I was like, let me just grab those glasses. Like, oh, that's way better. And so how did you describe me?
You look like Dame Edna.
Yeah, it's a powerful look. We've both got black and orange headphones, which is quite cool, but and black and orange glasses, but mine are in the other room because I'm wearing Carly's reading glasses. Maybe I'll take a photo. I can...
We're recording a video right now, Urs.
Good stuff. But also, obviously, having done adverts, I'm sitting there reminiscing about adverts. And then realising some of them are nearly 40 years old.
Easily, and I'm like, right?
Shit, I'm going to watch a more recent one just to realise that's also 27 years old. It's like, no way! That can't be right.
Yes. A lot of the adverts that are buried in my brain, probably because they were during my formative year. Formative years. Yeah, I remember things clearly from back then, but we'll come on to the adverts a bit more later. Have we got anything else to talk about? No.
No, I better just get on with who won last week.
All right, Hurst, who do you think the first comment is from?
If I were a betting man, I would probably bet on Meg98 at less than a minute past six.
You bet your goddamn house on Meg98, and you would be homeless, Hurst. You would be homeless. There is no vote for Meg98 that I can see.
What in the world wide of fuck is going on? What is this Twilight Zone?
I don't know. Meg, why have you abandoned us? But here we go. Starting off with a vote for me. He started off fancy and won me back with a pork pie. I have been known to carry an emergency pie. Cheers, Cov. Cheers, Cov. A vote for Hurst. No issues with the interpretation of finger foods. Both lists were spot on. Much to my surprise, Shay Wunty managed to elevate his palate to gourmet levels, stealing a vote that was earmarked for Squirrel before the episode started. P.S. This episode made us hungry too. From Matt, off of Matt and Laura.
Nice.
You want a Shay Wunty? What?
Oh, right, because he's Matt as well. And his is two T's, and mine's one T. So we call him one two T's and me one T.
Ah, right, got you. Rank is it's spelled W-U-N-T-I-E. So that's very clever. All right, good.
Yeah.
A vote for me. It's Ohio reporting in from, well, Ohio. And you all can relax. I knew most of the things you were talking about, brackets, and I had Google for the ones where I didn't, close brackets. Anyway, the pork pie grabs my vote here. There's a shop called Hirsch Burgers that sells them in Millersburg, and let me tell you, they're fantastic. Keep on ranking. Well, there's a free ad for Hirsch Burgers.
There we go. Happy days. Welcome to the show, Hirschburgers.
Well, I don't think they're listening. It was Ohio telling us that they exist.
I know, but I reckon she'll have told them. She'll have tipped them off that she's got a shout out on the world's leading authority on lists.
You're a she for Ohio, are you? I don't think we know, do we?
I just assumed.
Okay.
Let us know, Ohio. He, she, and neither, both.
Or don't, if you don't want to. You know, it's entirely up to you.
Yeah.
A vote for you, Hurst. Pigs in blankets are great. Cheese and pineapple is boring as shit. A vote for Hurst from me. Anonymous. Fucking good job, that's anonymous. I'm pretty sure I said in the podcast that if you don't like cheese and pineapple sticks, I don't like you.
Yeah. Plus, also, it was my second.
Yeah, well, anyway, another vote for you. Excellent finger food, guys. Very tough to pick this week. I also had to fight with my caterers at my wedding to get cheese and pineapple on the buffet. Of course you did. However, years later, I discovered the magic addition of the humble pickled onion. And when you factor in that pork pies are there and pigs without blankets are distinctly mid, Hurst wins this just about. I like how he said everything you did was right, but then you only just fucking won. Side note, I was introduced to bacon wrapped dates once. Fucking amazing. Also, chorizo, blue cheese, and fig on a stick. Fuck, I'm hungry. From Moneyslinger.
Good one, Moneyslinger.
Vote for me. Squirrel wins this week is the only thing I really enjoy out of all 10 things mentioned are the pork pies. But I do have a disabled tongue that doesn't work properly. Brackets. I am stupidly fussy and barely eat anything savoury that has been put together by someone else. Close bracket. I also agree that sausages and bacon are best enjoyed apart and not together. Anonymous. Thanks, Anonymous, me too.
Disagree.
Well, there we are. That's fine. But you don't know who to disagree with. Remember, rankers, Maybe I'm going to put something that just flashes as they're typing. Don't forget to type your name. Don't forget to type your name.
Maybe they're scared to put their name. They don't want to hear us fight back.
Here we go. This one's got a name on. Vote for me. I've had the roast beef thingies too at a wedding. Maybe we were at the same wedding. Maybe it was my wedding. Who knows? Very close this week. Only tipped over by the slimmest of margins, namely Wang's. Too much faff and leftover bones. I want something I can stuff in me gob in one go. Cheese and pineapple hedgehog all the way. Hurst would have taken the win with his onion addition had you not come in to clutch with the original cheese and pineapple to sneak it over the line. Bad luck, Hurst. At least says, do better, Trooper. Bad luck, do better.
Yeah, next time I see Trooper, we're going to have to throw down.
Oh, shit, son. Oh, he's got his archery bow and arrow, though, man. He'll shoot you at distance. Your melee combat. You're fucked.
Yeah, I'll be all right. I'll sneak up on him.
Oh, shit. Ninja time.
That's right. Go full ninja.
The Vision returns with a vote for Hurst because, well, it's the season of Hurst, of course.
Way. Hey, Vish.
Both lists were great, but Hurst edged it for me with constantly telling us how much he likes Wangs.
Good Wangs.
Another vote for Hurst. Vote for Hurst by a whisker. It was only the boring sausage rolls and squirrels list that put me off. I have forgotten to vote the last two episodes, but the winners were the ones I would have picked, so all good. But now the kids are addicted to Fox's Crunch Creams. Keep up the good work, Katie. That's what nice. It says here. Keep up the good work, Katie. I think, which one of us is Katie?
I think Katie is Katie, and she's just giving herself a pep talk.
Got ya. Finally, a vote for me. Rank of Dowpaz checking in. Ooh, this was a tough one. I was wavering between both lists for a good few minutes, but my love of sausage rolls tipped me back to squirrel. On the subject of pork pies, I'm convinced that people who hate the jelly have never had a warm pork pie. I agree, when cold the jelly is not good, but oven hot it provided some much-needed lubrication. Eat your pies, rankers. Well, that just sounds gross now. I mean, I don't mind it. Now it sounds minging. I like how the random comment order likes having people disagree with each other immediately afterwards. It's lots of fun.
Happy days. Who was that one?
No, that was from Davfass.
Oh, yes, Davfass, you did say.
Hurst, you ready for the results?
Yes, I'm ready.
Hurst, I got 20.
Oh, that's big.
Hurst, you got 20.
Holy shit.
'Tis a draw. Let us move to the AI machine. I've already prepped it with the lists. In the event of a draw, we turn to ChatGPT. We feed it both lists. We feed it the subject. We say which of these is best. List one or list two? List one, in this case, was my list. List two was Hurst's list. ChatGPT says, list one fits top five finger foods way better. Sorry, Hurst. It's basically a greatest hits album of British buffet tables. Sausage rolls, pork pies, really Yorkshire's very posh pub canapes, plus the gloriously retro cheese and pineapple on sticks. List two has too many generic party food items that don't feel specifically great. Sliders, chicken wings, jalapeno poppers. Pigs and blankets is great, but it's doing a lot of heavy lifting.
Didn't you have jalapeno poppers as well?
I did, but lower down, I guess.
And cheese and pineapple.
Higher up, I guess.
Shut up, ChatGPT. What do you know?
Our overlords have spoken, Hurst.
Well, there we go. That's a three-peat, I think. Well, congratulations on the win. So let's have the ultimate official world ranking countdown.
In at number five, mini roast beef, Yorkshire pudding, horseradish and gravy canapés. At number four, pork pies. At number three, jalapeno poppers. At number two, sausage rolls. And at number one, cheese and pineapple on sticks. They are the best finger food. It is official. All right, Hurst, are you ready?
I am ready.
Let's get ranking. Hurst, I hold the coin of destiny.
Of course you do.
How do we know who it chooses?
Well, that's simple. Heads for Hurst. Squirrels have tails.
Here we go. Oh, squirrels have tails.
Very good.
All right.
That's two in a row, isn't it? The coin has finally accepted you.
I don't... You're the American sports fan, man. I don't pay attention to the stats. I have literally no idea. I can barely remember what I did yesterday, let alone last episode.
So we're doing adverts this week, and I know you've been struggling pretty hard with getting your shortlist down.
We will revisit that at the end where I will read out all the ones that I've got.
It was an interesting one because there were adverts that were just brilliant that didn't make my list because there were adverts that I loved or were, again, like you were saying, part of my formative years that are so deeply ingrained in me that they had to be on my list. And then as you're going through, you're starting looking at the catchphrases, the things that have become synonymous with a brand, and you realise just how clever some of the ad agencies are.
Mm.
And as we'll speak about in Worst, you realise how fucking annoying and farty wanky some of them are. But there have been some crackers in there, and we definitely need to do an honourable mentions bit afterwards, because this has been a good week of reminiscence.
Yes. Oh, we'll talk about that more at the end in terms of honourable mentions, but this one has been hard rankers. So let's start with something that was at number two at one point. This is my number five best advert. It is the Budweiser advert called First Delivery, involving the Budweiser Clydesdales. It came out in 2025, and it was made by Anheuser Busch, an American / German ad agency, I guess they call them. The Budweiser Clydesdales don't really exist in this country, but in America, they bring out a new advert each Super Bowl. And much like John Lewis do at Christmas over here, they are a big deal. They don't directly advertise anything. They're just like, everybody knows these are the Budweiser Clydesdales, and it's going to be huge budgets and like a hit song, probably sung by a new person in a modern way, the same way the John Lewis ones did. And in 2025's Super Bowl, it was a story 60 seconds long about a foal who wants to help the big Clydesdales pull the wagon full of Budweiser, but the driver tells him he's too small. But then as all the big horses are pulling the thing down the drive, keg falls off the back of the wagon, so the foal jumps out of its field and starts pushing it along with its nose to its destination, and shenanigans ensue along the way. There's a good joke in there. It's cute as hell. It'll make you feel good. And 160,000 people who were voting on the Super Bowl adverts decided it was the best one during last year's Super Bowl, and I'm down with that. All of the Clydesdale adverts are good, but I think this was the best one, and I had a great time watching them all again today. Number five, First Delivery.
Very good. All right, well, my number five is from 2010. It is Old Spice from the Man Your Man Could Smell Like campaign. So we all know that Old Spice is what your dad used to smell of. But with this advert, it was basically out of nowhere, it made you love it. Perfume and aftershave adverts are typically dreadful. More on that later. This one is everything that the others aren't. It's funny, engaging, it's tongue-in-cheek, and it brings the brand into the minds of younger people. It's not pretending to be cool, and I think that's what puts it into a totally acceptable space. So many of the aftershave adverts are trying to be really cool or deep or make you think, yeah, I'd be cool if I wear that. And this one is like, nah, bollocks. It's having a laugh. It upgrades itself by making people happy. So well played, Old Spice.
All right, cool. Number four, for me, Hurst, isn't a TV ad. What? Take a look at that picture, Hurst. This is a print ad for the movie Legend, which starred Tom Hardy and Tom Hardy as the Cray twins.
Yeah.
Yes. It came along in 2015. It was made by one of Studio Canal's in-house ad agencies. And the reason I like it, Hurst, it's just a... Describe what you see for us.
Tom Hardy as the two Cray brothers standing next to himself, looking in different directions, looking completely different, but at the same time, twinny. And there's lots of stars.
Lots of stars, because it was a good movie. How many stars did the Sunday Express give it?
Five stars.
Five stars. How many did Sky Movies give it?
Four stars.
Good. How many did The Guardian give it?
Two stars.
The Guardian did not like the film, and they only gave it 2 out of 5 stars. They thought it could have done much better.
But they hid it.
They hid it. They put it between their heads, so it makes you think there's stars behind their heads. There isn't.
Wow, that's really clever.
So clever. And The Guardian, the guy who wrote the thing for The Guardian, noticed this, of course, and he put it on Twitter, and everybody thought it was amazing. The guy who wrote the article thought it was brilliant. He loved it. The fact that they'd done this in the post and not the film, obviously. And yeah, this is just a really clever way of A, using a big name reviewer and making it look more impressive than it is in terms of the score they gave them, but B, also doing something to generate attention afterwards. And apparently it worked very well. More people saw Legend than saw Paddington at the cinemas, and Paddington was enormous. So I don't remember anything about Legend besides this and the fact that Tom Hardy was in it twice.
Yeah, I thought it was okay. I didn't think it was a great film, but that is a very clever piece of advertising.
Good job, Studio Canal's in-house team.
Yeah. they must have been so pleased with themselves when they come on that.
Smug.
It's like, guys, I've had the best idea. And then the whole team, you can just imagine them whooping and going around giving each other high fives.
And probably using a computer to shift left-hand Tom Hardy just enough so it's perfect.
Yeah. Oh, bravo. No, that's an excellent shout. Yeah. I didn't know where you were going with that, but you have outdone yourself there. Very good choice. Right, I will send you my next one, even though you probably don't need it.
Yeah,
knows it.
I could do the entire thing for you right now.
And that's the joy of it. What I'm talking about, Rankers, is the 1989 Milky Way advert, the red car and the blue car, who had a race. All Red wants to do is stuff his face. I mean, yes. Everything he sees, from trucks to prickly trees. But smart Blue, he took the Milky Way. It's a cartoon of these two racing. And all the way along, the Red's chomping everything he sees and getting fatter and fatter. And it culminates and they get to a bridge. It's, oh no, the bridge is down. Poor old Red can't carry on. But smart old Blue, he took the Milky Way. And it was an absolute bastard earworm. And if you watch that now, you will be able to sing. If you're within 10 years of us, so anywhere between 40 and 50, I would say, you will be able to watch that and sing along with the whole damn thing. Just great advertising for a Milky Way, which is kind of a nothing chocolate bar.
Yeah, the shit chocolate bar. The message is, this doesn't fill you up, so why bother?
For people who are maybe wanting a nice snack without putting on all the weight, they're like, oh, it's lighter, it's less calories. It's a brilliant advert, and it's a real earworm, and I guess we would have been, what, 10 going on 11?
Yeah, it was in like the
Turtles. So it was that perfect time with Turtles, He-Man, whatever it was. And so great nostalgia, great tune, brilliant earworm, good piece of advertising.
Yeah, that was on my list for a while. Now it isn't. So I can tell you that it was made by Darcy Massey Benton and Bowles, the same ad agency that did Holidays Are Coming, the truck one for Coca-Cola. Oh, wow.
So there you go. I like their vehicle-related advertising.
Red vehicles. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Except the red vehicle was the loser in this one.
He was, because Milky Ways are blue, of course, so it had to be the blue car. Yeah, that song was just all over the playground, right? Everyone knew the words, and everyone knew.
Just looking for a tasty treat that's fluffy and light. Because
he knows it runs while his appetite. Yep, there we go. So my number three is just watching it in the background. My number three is the John West Bear advert, which was made by Leo Burnett of London in the year 2000. It features David Attenborough sound-alike telling us about a bear, in inverted commas, which is actually a stuntman in a 7-foot bear suit from Jim Henson's Creature Shop, catching a salmon from a river, and then a John West employee, fisherman, I guess, runs in and tries to take it, and he punches the bear a few times, and then the bear does the Ali shuffle and roundhouse kicks the dude in the stomach, and then the dude points, look over there, an eagle, and the bear looks, and the dude kicks the bear at the bollocks and takes the fish. That's it. It's a 30-second video, and like I say, it came out in 2000, and it was one of the first viral videos. This was pre-YouTube, so this is a video that was emailed around. It wasn't the first. That was probably the Dancing Baby in 1996, but this was enormous, and it was still seen an estimated 300 million times. Back when it wasn't easy to share videos like this, I remember getting it when I worked at Fujifilm, and everyone was around my desk watching it, and I must have played it about 10 times, because we were just pissing ourselves. It won the Cannes Gold Lion for excellence in advertising. It won the Grand Prix at the British Television Advertising Award. These are things that exist. It's surreal. It's funny. It's not trying to be too clever. It's just great. And yeah, there you go, my number four, the John West Bear advert.
I'd totally forgotten about that as a really good call. Again, just looking at it now, it just made me laugh, because even when you're expecting
so stupid,
it's funny. But when you're not expecting it, just brilliant. Like Kung Fu Bear, love it.
Yeah.
And because of the comedy of it and the roundhouse kick and all of that, it doesn't feel like, oh, he's beating up a bear, animal cruelty, that's not fair. It's like, nah, it's just an unexpected fight over a fish. No one really gets hurt or damaged. No humans were mauled in it. No bears really lost their nuts in it. It's just funny. It's good. Excellent. So that's your number three.
Yes, indeed.
Right, my number three, sending in now.
You
all know these. My number three is 1992's You Know When You've Been Tangoed campaign. And there are a couple of videos. They did several in the series. And the idea is that when you drink a can of Tango, some existential experience happens to you that other people can't see, and certainly not in real time. It needs a slower video replay and some commentary.
Oh, yeah, I forgot they did that.
And they rewind it and go, yep, here you go. And so the first one, the guy just drinks out of the can, and then they rewind it, and they've got a Geordie chap talking to a guy who sounds like a snooker commentator, and they're talking through this guy drinking his can of Tango, and something weird happens. So on the first one, the little orange man, or not even that little, bald orange man runs up to him, taps him on the shoulder as he looks over. He's not there. He looks round, sees him. And the guy just happy slaps his face, both hands on his cheeks, and runs off. But the real genius is the guy's expression. He looks absolutely shell-shocked, not angry, just like, wow, that was a crazy experience. And it's just another classic of the time finding a way to separate Tango from the abundance of other fizzy drinks out there. It's pure silliness. And they cleverly work in that whole replay thing, making it sound like a sporting commentary looking back on something. And it's the idea that Tango is happening to you invisibly to the naked eye. You're not just drinking it. It's happening to you. And of course, kids started slapping each other.
Yes.
And of course, schools panicked. And of course, it got banned. It
got banned pretty quick, didn't it?
Culturally untouchable. And actually, having looked through them, like the slap one's brilliant. It's the first one that's the one that messed it all up. But the one I really like is when the weird old lady comes over with a big orange balloon and a pin, and you're just waiting for her to pop this pin, and she explodes. Like, she's the one that pops. And it's just brilliant. So unexpected. So silly. So funny. Yeah, number three for me, Tango, you know when you've been tangoed.
Yeah, good shouts. Definitely another one that I remember from the school playground. You would happy slap people and tell them they had been tangoed. They were quite right to ban it.
Yeah.
Like, we ruined it. Like, we ruined all good things.
Yeah, that's just the nature of us as a species. Yeah.
There we go. Number two, for me, 2010 advert by Wieden and Kennedy, entitled The Man Your Man Could Smell Like. Yes, indeed, it is the Old Spice ad. Specifically, it was created to market Old Spice's Red Zone After Hours Body Wash. Yes, that's literally what this thing is called. But as Hurst points out, it was trying to reach a younger audience because even though at the time Old Spice was the market leader for deodorant and body wash in the USA, Procter & Gamble were looking at selling it because they knew that people thought it was really old-fashioned. They knew it was going to age out as the people buying it started to die. So this was kind of an effort for them to capture the youth market. And they absolutely did. Sales of Old Spice went up 125%. Yeah, after the advert launched, and considering they were already the market leader, that is enormous. And it remains to this day the most popular deodorant in the USA. So on that front, the advert absolutely did its job. It starred Isaiah Mustafa, which might sound like a cool name, but it immediately becomes super average when you learn he was an NFL player and with the Oakland Raiders and the Cleveland Browns. So it's basically just standard NFL name. He was obviously very, very, very easy on the eye and on the ear. And when he says, "Hello, ladies," people tend to pay attention. Now, Hurst says he didn't think it was trying to be clever. I thought it was trying to be incredibly clever. It was, like, hyper smug. No, he was...
he wasn't trying to be cool. I didn't say he wasn't trying to be clever.
He was hyper cool. Like, he was...
I'm saying the brand didn't try to be cool because that's not a cool advert. They picked a cool guy and then tongue-in-cheek said, "This is how your guy can smell." It's not trying to be cool. It's definitely trying to be clever, and it fucking is.
Yes, their man couldn't be him, but they could smell like him, which was apparently almost as good. And he was the man your man could smell like. And then he had tickets to that feed, and then he had diamonds, then he was on a horse.
And he did look like he smelled tremendous, didn't he?
Yes. They quickly made more of the adverts, including Isaiah answering viewers' questions for 24 hours straight and releasing them as really short YouTube clips. And younger people like me at the time were literally stabbing F5 waiting for the next one to appear because that is what they needed to do. It went like hugely viral. And I know that's kind of almost a cliche nowadays, but back then that was a big deal. And they really tapped into the market they needed to at the time. And in June that year, in 2010, it won the Grand Prix for film at the Cannes Lions International Advertising Festival. In July, it won a Primetime Emmy Award for Outstanding Commercial. These things exist. And yeah, like I say, it worked. And that was probably the most important thing. So yeah, my number two, the excellent The Man Your Man Could Smell Like.
Brilliant. I'm on a horse. This is from 1999, which was one of the things that made me feel super old because I thought, it wasn't that long ago. The What's Up advert. Absolute genius, totally unforgettable, and 100% conceived when someone was absolutely off their tits.
Yeah.
And all the better for it. So for anyone who hasn't seen it, for any of our younger rankers or older rankers maybe who missed it, I don't think we've got any that old.
No.
It's basically a guy just sitting in his flat watching telly, and his mate phones him up and says, "What you doing, B?" He's like, "Just watching the game, having a bud." "What you doing?" "Watching the game, having a bud."
True.
He thought, that's a cool little catchphrase. Yeah, true. Budweiser, true. And then another guy walks in the background of the first guy and says, "What up?" It's like, "What's up?" And then he just turns to, "What up?" And then the whole thing becomes the guy at the other end, "Who's that?" It's like, "Get him on the phone." And then they're getting on each other on the phone. And then these four guys just sitting on the phone going, "What up?" And it was just absolute nonsense. But totally hilarious. It had absolutely nothing to do with Bud. It was just when a bunch of guys are in a close-knit friendship group, they have stupid shit and catchphrases and things they say to each other, and it absolutely captured that. And just when you thought it was finished, someone buzzes the buzzer, and as he says, "Who's there?" It's just a guy at the bottom goes, yeah. And it's just, it's so, so stupid and so funny. And it was absolutely huge. Everyone was doing it,
yep.
Which is what made it get old fast. It was even referenced in Friends, wasn't it? Ross goes, "Bleh!" And then Chandler's like, it was like 3 years ago, dude. Three years.
Yeah.
It came in. It was like a tornado. It came in.
It was.
Just took everything by storm, and then it was gone. And they did a couple of spin-off ones, but they weren't as good. That first one was just absolute gold. So for me, it was at number two, Budweiser, What's Up?
Yep, excellent. Like you said, literally everywhere. I remember everyone was saying it for like maybe 3 months, and then, yeah, gone.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with Budweiser, nothing to do with anything except for possibly one of the best capturings of a male friend group that's ever happened.
Just a relatable little friendship group. Then I was like, yeah, I get it. And that's funny.
All right, that was funny. But what about things that weren't funny, Hurst?
Yeah, let's see what happens at the worst.
So my worst, Hurst, is officially called Girl and Movie or something. But you're going to know it as soon as I say the phrase, "You wouldn't steal a car." Oh, fucking hell. 2004, The Idea Place, which is an in-house studio for Warner Brothers, created a short advert to be played. Well, actually, it was a short warning to be played at the beginning of a movie in some movie festival to try and stop people from using piracy to take the films for free. Oh, no. What a disaster. And it's like, "You wouldn't download a car. You wouldn't steal a bag." And it showed this girl downloading a film from a pretend website. "Piracy is illegal. Stealing is bad." And it was like, this girl switches it off and goes out. And I don't know why. She just changed her mind whilst this film was downloading. And it was just utterly ridiculous. It was a joint effort between the Motion Picture Association of America, which is the MPA, and 7 major film studios and the National Association of Theatre Owners. And it was at this festival. Then it debuted at theatres in June 2004 and on home media in July 27. And it appeared in theatres internationally from 2004 until 2008 and on many commercial DVDs and on the TV in the UK. So technically, I can have it as an advert. The problem is, it was being shown to the wrong people. It was being shown to the people who'd bought cinema tickets. It was being shown to people that had paid for the DVD. Often, it was unskippable. It was preceding the main menu, and you had to watch the whole thing every time you put the DVD in. What this did is inform people that they could get films for free from the internet. And apparently, it backfired hugely. Piracy rates went up, and to top it all off, they didn't pay the royalties on the music they used correctly. So they technically pirated the music. And in the UK, they used a font called X Brand Rough, which was pirated from a font called FF Confidential. And they got sued for that as well.
Just wow.
Perfect.
That is a clusterfuck, isn't it?
Oh, an absolute clusterfuck of something that shouldn't have existed ever.
Something I noticed when you said that and you were describing it, you said you wouldn't download a car. You know what? If I could download a car, 100% I would do that.
Of course we would. If we could copy a car and have it of no consequence to anyone else, absolutely we would do it.
Yeah.
Right?
Only if I could download it. I wouldn't take it, like, physically, but if I could download that fucker and it would work. Oh,
there you go. It's often kind of Mandela affected as you wouldn't download a car, but it is actually steal a car, but...
Yeah.
Damn right I'd download a car.
Fucking right. Especially because, you know, you could probably download a better one than you might be able to afford.
Yeah. And 3D print it. Well, maybe one day we will be able to do such a thing, Hurst.
That'd be marvellous.
What about you?
Well, as something I alluded to earlier, for me, the worst is all of the perfume and aftershave adverts because they all suck ass and they come out in force over Christmas. I mean, I don't need to explain it because everyone's seen it and everyone's probably rolled their eyes.
So you can't explain it?
Yeah. Well, let me try.
All right.
My description of perfume and aftershave adverts is nonsense, oversaturated random images with a celebrity doing fuck all to provide any context or cohesion, all to an unrelated soundtrack. Forget the smell of the perfume. The people churning out this chud clearly love the smell of their own fart. Absolutely god-awful, hateful bilge. Surely nobody thinks these are good.
Yeah, for some reason, they need to be incredibly arty, and I don't know why.
Because they think that's what makes them look expensive and premium. It's like, oh my God, I don't understand that advert. They must be so, so ahead of me artistically and emotionally.
Mr. Palau. Palau, honey guy.
It's plof, toast.
Was that my advert?
Say no more. People every winter are subjected to perfume and not just perfume. Obviously, it's the male equivalent with the aftershaves and stuff. They're just as bad. Fuck off, all of you.
That's right. Take a leaf out of Old Spice's book and sell shit rather than making wank TV adverts.
Do something to make people feel good, not to feel inferior.
Yeah, not that I don't know what to feel. Confusion, mainly, just when I'm watching those
contempt events. Contempt and hatred, mostly, for me.
Yeah. Well, let's stop talking about the worst, Hurst, and get on to the best goddamn adverts of all time.
Let's stop talking about the worst, Hurst, and talk about the first, Hurst.
Hurst. In 1997, I was in the cinema. I thought, probably if I go through the list of the films that were released in 97, I'll be able to remember the exact film I was watching when I saw this advert. And it turns out I had one of them unlimited cards in 97, so I saw literally everything, so that's no good. I think I was watching Liar Liar with Jim Carrey, and that's, 29 years ago now. So this advert comes on, and it's a pretty packed cinema, and they're all people around my age, which would be like 16 to 21-year-old. And this advert was a Lynx advert. And it had this freaking nerd dude who was obviously probably some fucking model, let's face it, but he was dressed as a nerd and he was pulling daft nerd faces and he had this absolute smoke show. He put his legs on and she was all over him and they went out and they went to the carnival and did fun things and he played Virtua Fighter 3 and beat her up. And it was just amazing. You're like, how is this dude getting this lady? And they're in the nightclub, he's doing crap dancing and she's like, so all over him. She's laughing at his jokes and shit. And then just as they're about to get it on at the end, this voice comes on and goes, David! And you see him kind of bring back into life, wake up from his daydream in front of a mirror. And as one, the crowd in the cinema went, ah, because it was all a dream. And the camera pans around to the woman that said it, and it's Jennifer fucking Aniston. And she's going, are you sure you want to go out tonight? While she's ironing his clothes. And the cinema legitimately just went, yeah! And it was like one of the best things. And it was one of the greatest things that's happened to me in a cinema. The crowd interaction was incredible. And that has always stuck with me. It wasn't an especially great advert. It was very good. And it did win a couple of awards. It was by Bartle Bogle Hegarty, BBH of London. And yeah, like I said, it came out in 97. Friends only came out in 94. And this would have been filmed, the advert, in 96. So we're talking peak Aniston. Like, she had the hair. She wasn't scarily thin. Oh, it was just the reaction from the crowd where we got the Aniston pop was immense. And then right at the end, she's reading a book called How to Keep Your Man or How to Please Your Man at 3 a.m. while she's waiting for him to come home. Just so good. So there you are. Number one. Didn't have a name officially, just the Lynx effect.
Very good. Very good. Have you got a fact and an estimated fact for me?
Hell yeah, I do, my friend. Fact. Lynx is called Axe in the USA. Because Unilever thought the word Lynx with a Y would be too hard for Americans to remember. Fact. In 2020, Lynx released Africa and Marmite deodorant and shower gel as part of their Collision series.
No. I mean, they're both such ridiculous facts, but...
Perfect. Yeah. That's what you're aiming for.
I don't think you could bring out Lynx and Marmite, although that was the time when Marmite was branding itself on Love It or Hate It as a distinct. No, I'm going to go with Axe in America because I'm pretty sure it is called Axe over there, and that must, there must be a reason. I think that's the fact. No, fuck off.
You've got to be kidding me. Why?
Lynx Africa and Marmite was indeed released as part of their collisions range. I got some. Or someone bought me some maybe for Christmas. And yeah, it legitimately smelled a bit like Lynx Africa, which I think is the best-selling one they've ever done.
Yeah.
And just Marmite, like clearly Marmite. And it was like, yeah, who's ever going to use this model once as a joke?
Wow.
But yes, the reason Lynx is called Axe in some countries, including France, where it was invented, is that there was trademark issues in the UK and other places like Australia and New Zealand with the word Axe. So they just called it Lynx.
Fair enough. Oh, very good. Well done. Well done. Mm. Those were some wild facts. I do remember that advert. It's a very, very good one.
Mm.
A deserving number one. It's a good list. You've done a good list.
Well, thanks, buddy. Let's see how you cap yours off.
My one, again, it's probably the kind of thing that's going to either win me or lose me the week, depending on the age of the people listening. I think the people listening will go, fuck yeah. People are sort of around our age. Anyway, let's just get to it. 1989. Okay. 1989, the Milk Marketing Board released an advert for some reason.
I can say it right now, but I'm not kidding. Go on, carry on.
And it is a catchphrase that, well, let me say, ugh, milk? What are your rush drinks? You rush? Yeah, and if he says, I don't drink lots of milk, but I grew up, I'll only be good enough to play for Arrington Stanley.
Arrington Stanley? Who are they? Exactly. Give me some.
Knock it off.
Give me some.
So, yeah. Anyone who was watching telly in 1989 saw that advert. And for most of us, we still remember it. So Ian Rush was the striker for Liverpool and England.
Mm.
And about the most famous footballer around at the time. He was scoring for fun. And so, yeah, these two young lads have come in from playing football. And the first one that says, oh, got any lemonade? And he's like, yeah, if you want. And then he pours himself a glass of milk and that conversation follows. And the idea is that, yeah, drink your lemonade, loser. I want to be as good a footballer as Ian Rush. And it put Accrington Stanley on the map as a club. No one's ever heard of it. And even when I was watching Soccer AM decades ago, probably 2006, 2007 or whatever, when Accrington Stanley had sort of come into the Football League, every time they said Accrington Stanley, they put that little clip in.
Who
were
they?
Accrington Stanley? Who were they?
Exactly.
So it was obviously, it was in the zeitgeist of people around that age, and it's stuck ever since. It's just absolute marketing genius. Almost wasted because it was for the Milk Marketing Board. I don't know what they were trying to achieve, if they wanted to try and boost sales or just get people drinking milk because it's healthier than lemonade, but absolute banger, that advert. So if you've not seen it, get onto YouTube and watch it because it's hilarious.
Poor Accrington and Stanley, though, man. They're getting dunked on and they're like, oh, pardon us for existing. And now everybody only knows us because if you don't drink milk, you'll only be good enough to play football for us.
But frankly, because they're kind of a league side now, I'd be quite happy to play for them. You'd still be making a living playing football.
Well, there you go.
It's like, if I don't drink lots of milk, I'll only be good enough to play for Berwick Town. So there we go. Don't know who they are.
The mighty Worksop.
Worksop Tigers. So, you know, sit here now, baby.
And presumably you wouldn't say that in the Liverpudlian accent. You'd say it in wherever Worksop is accent.
Yeah, I guess so. Sort of North Nottinghamshire.
Hey, Hurst, you got a fact, an estimated fact for me about maybe milk or maybe Accrington Stanley or
Liverpool? Fact. Whilst one of the most memorable adverts of all time, it actually only ran for 6 months because in an interview, Ian Rush admitted he doesn't actually drink milk. Fact. The kid off of camera who utters the immortal words, ugh, milk, is a guy called Kevin Spain, and he was jailed in 2023 for murder.
I know he was called Kevin Spain. The other one is called Carl Rice.
Who is actually a successful actor from things such as, Brassic. They trolleyed and Corrie. I think he was on Corrie.
Brookside, yeah. I think. I remember because I was looking at this one. I did look into this advert a bit because it did trouble my five.
Is it the one that was at your number one and then got booted?
No, that was What's Up.
Oh, no.
I feel like I would have read about the murder in my research. So I'm going to say Ian Rush said that he didn't drink milk.
The fact is that actually Kevin Spain did go down for murder in 2023.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no, poor dude. Yeah. Well, no, I guess not, if he actually did the murdering.
Well, poor dude that he did the murdering on.
Yeah. Oh, God damn you, research. Why did that? Yeah, fucking hell, milk and murder. The tragedy that overpowers Atkinson's Alley, says the fucking New York Times. You what?
What do you know about it?
Yeah. There you are.
Slow news day in New York. So, yes, near misses and other worthy mentions.
Mm. Yes, I have many. Do you want to go first? There's so many.
Yeah, so there were ones that were catchphrase or things that associate themselves with stuff like have a break, have a Kit Kat.
Mm.
Ron yep. Seal does exactly what it says on the tin.
Yes.
Mr. Kipling makes exceedingly good cakes. Do you love anyone enough to give them your last roller in Valentine's
Excellent
Day?
One,
that
yep.
was that was a classic, wasn't it? One that I was close with was the Cadbury's one with the gorilla playing drums.
Yes.
That was a very good advert. And also another one that was just on the cusp was the Guinness one with the waves and the horses.
Yeah.
The surfers. Tip close to. That's very good. Yeah, so there's some really good ones. I also almost banged in at number four just for shits and giggles, Fly Fishing by J.R. Hartley, the Yellow Pages advert, because it was a banger, that also very much a Hearst 4. Milky Bar Kid, shout out for five decades of selling Milky Bars. Well, they said, no, kids can't sell chocolate anymore.
Yeah,
so there was quite a few in there as well. What about
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I had a lot. Surprised that Guinness one didn't get a mention for either of us. The Surface one's great. Other Guinness adverts, the Anticipation one with the man dancing around and the Swim Black one where he was racing the drink being poured. All excellent adverts from Guinness. No John Lewis adverts mentioned apart from saying that they existed. The Snowman one was my favourite. Red Car and the Blue Car Race was originally on my list. Carlsberg did an advert called the Best Pub Team in the World. Do you remember that? With the 1966 team, but as old men. Oh, God, yeah, that was a good really advert. Good. And in the same vein, Charles Dance did the Rugby World Cup advert, and then...
Well, Carling used to be Carling Black Label, didn't it? And it was always, yes. I bet he drinks Carling Black Label.
It did. That wasn't Carlsberg. That's a different drink.
Oh, Carling, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, Carlsberg, yeah, you're on it. Probably, isn't it, Carlsberg?
Levi launched so many songs. He got Spaceman, Mr. Wazoo. They did stuff with The Clash, Stand By Me, The Joker, Mr. Bombastic, R. White, Secret Lemonade Drinker, The Fruit Pasta one where the dude gets hit by an elephant. Hilarious. You've Been Tangoed. There it is. Fucking Melanie Sykes. You're the flake in that love. Oh, my God. Such a good advert.
Yeah.
Akrington Stanley and then Umbungo and Kiora.
Yeah, I had that. I was just going to say.
Catchy as hell.
Yeah. Yeah. And, of their time. But yeah. Kiora kid. I'll be your dog.
Iron Brew did an excellent ripoff of The Snowman, where they had a little kid singing about Iron Brew and he wouldn't give the snowman any, and in the end he threw him on the floor. And then just for pure song stuck in your head, this Juice Loose About This Hoose. There you are. And, honestly, my list changed so many times. Yeah. But
it was a good fun one.
That'll do. Well then, should we find out what we're doing next week?
Yeah, let's do that. Spin the wheel.
Cool. Anything you're hoping for, particularly Hearst?
Acting Dynasties. I've not seen that one before.
Yeah, it's been on there for a little while. It was suggested by Pete, I think.
What's that one mean? As so in, like families? Hemsworth.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, my God. Are there a lot of them?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
All right, I'll give it a spin. Oh. No way. That was so close to Acting Dynasties. Alphabetically,
it really was.
You'll be able to tell, because it is. The top five ABBA songs.
Excellent. That'll be fun.
Are you a fan of the ABBA, Hearst?
Not massively, but they've done a lot of classics, haven't they? They're better than having to listen to the Girls Aloud or whatever the other one is that we got to do.
I have a strong dislike of ABBA.
Oh, well, fuck.
This is an OG one. That was almost certainly you, tit.
No, I wouldn't have put that down.
Oh,
I'd never have picked ABBA. Like, I don't like them enough to put them on the list. I don't hate them enough to be funny about it, probably. So I'll be boring. Mm. You can have all the hatred fun next week.
I will be talking about production values and not allow us fucking ABBA. Oh, okay. Well, good. There's actually probably not as many songs as you might think to listen to, right? It's a bit like the Spice Girls next, but they weren't really around.
That's fine. I'll go and listen to it. There might be some ABBA, like, deep tracks that I've never heard that I'm like, oh my God, what is this incredible?
Oh, it's just like metal. That would be amazing. Yeah. It's like Lordy. Cool. I will probably listen to them on the way to Cheltenham, let's face it. Great.
Good call.
Other than that, Hurst, let's wrap things up. So, rankers, you can find us on Patreon. You can find us on the internet. You can find us on Facebook and YouTube and all the fun places. We're at Top 5 Face Off. Go there. Vote. Just search for Top 5 Face Off or go to top5faceoff.co.uk. Easy.
Indeed. And for our Patreons who didn't realize, there is an app for Patreon which will allow you easy access to our stuff there and might make you sign up for a second Patreon account accidentally. But yeah, if you go onto Patreon, there is more stuff that you don't get on the likes of Spotify and PodMonkey or whatever it is that you listen to. That's worth having a look at. You do, however, need to be a Patreon to listen to those. But the good news is...
That only costs you £1 a month.
Exactly. Only £1 a month. That's bugs, yeah, that
is a bug. But if you were to pay £5 a month, then, you could get a shout-out just like this.
Hey, Official Support Hub, we flippin' love you guys. Mr. Gaz Chap, Mr. Daf Paz, Miss Goddess Jasmine, and, of course, Kovach. Kovach, Gaz Chap, Daf Paz, and Goddess Jasmine. You're the best of all the Patreons.
Thank you very much, guys. If you want to join them, just stick in an extra £4 a month on top of your normal fee. It's nothing money. And hey, you can have your name read out too. Hurst, you sell paintings on the internet. How can I get one?
You can message me directly, mate.
Yeah, okay, mate. Yeah. I can just ask you now.
Yeah, and like, do you want one?
Yeah.
Paint them? Yeah, cool. No, but if you want to have a look at some of my art, I'm still building the website, but it's www.doghouseart.co.uk. Or if you particularly want a pet portrait, just go to pet-portraits.uk. I can hook you up.
Brilliant. Tell a friend about us. Leave a review on whatever thing you do. Just press like on whatever you're listening to. I'm sure that doesn't hurt you and probably does good things for the algorithm, which neither of us understand. Don't forget, you can send us emails, hello@top5faceoff.co.uk, which somebody did, Hurst. Do you remember?
You said about sending rude
pictures across the internet, and I was like, don't do that.
Did they send you rude pictures?
I said, don't do that. Send me a picture of you listening to the podcast or something, and then we laugh, because that was such a stupid idea. Well, someone did, Hurst.
It's the vision. He's all right.
He says, here I am enjoying the podcast while looking for a new t-shirt in Primark. Loving the show. Thanks for the concern. And the season of Hurst continues.
Excellent stuff. Well, it's good to see everything's all right. I was worried about him.
So there you are, rankers. Now that you know that you can send pictures of you listening to this podcast, hell, send them along and you get your name read out for free.
And then Squirrel will do a big collage and post them all on Patreon.
Yep. Why not? Yep. There you go. Brilliant. Other than that, I reckon we're done, aren't we, Hurst?
I think that's it. It's time to bring it home to land.
Excellent. Please rewind this podcast for the next people that come along to listen, and we will see you next time for the top 5 ABBA songs.
Excellent. See you later, rankers. Love you.
Top 5 Face Off is presented by Matt Hurst and Matt Squirrel and produced by Powerstorm Awesome Fire Incorporated. For more details and to vote for a winner, visit top5faceoff.co.uk. Thanks for listening.
Our overlords have spoken, Hurst.
Well, there we go. That's a three-peat, I think. Congratulations.
Again, you're the stat man. Let me adjust the votes manually, which I now have to do. This is going
to be... I'm a stat man!
You rankers, welcome to Top 5 Face Off, where we take a random subject which is suggested by one of our Patreons, and we choose the top 5 and the worst thing from that subject. And then you, the ranker at home, you go to our website, top5faceoff.co.uk, and vote. Tell us which of us was correct. One of us is always correct. And the winner will become... Well, what will the winner become? The winner
will go on to and the winner
becomes the official world rankings.
The winner what?
The winner becomes the official world rankings.
Yeah.
Or the winning list becomes the official world ranking.
And the winning list becomes the official world ranking. Later. Have we got anything else to talk about? No.
No. We better just get on with who won last week.
We better chat about that. But we won't. Oh. Aha. Wow. Psych.
Secret editing trick.
Yeah.
I feel like I really got one over on them.
I don't know why we're doing this, because obviously not going to hear it.
Obviously they will. Yeah. It's going to go in at the end with the pips.
Oh, do you think? Oh, well, then maybe we should explain what's happening a little bit. So, yeah, this is Wednesday, and we figured that was too early to have you vote, so we're going to record the voting bit on Monday when you'll have more time to vote, rankers. So there you are. That's why we were being silly. How exciting. What a thrilling way to end a podcast.
Plus, also, we were even on scores at that point, which isn't even a spoiler because you've just heard the episode with the because you've just heard the episode with the answers.
Did we just get an outtake for an outtake?
Double outtake. And the inception of outtakes.
It's like four outtakes.
Wow.
All right. Good. Well, I'm intrigued to hear them, Hers, but first, we have to visit the realms of the worst advert.
Can I do my number two first?
No. No, I'm so used to you going first. Professionals. Right. Yes, give me some of your near misses. What troubled your list?
Well, should I hit you with my fact and estimated fact first?
Or... Oh, fuck, I'm so bad at this. Like, honestly.
I should always just go first.
You should always go first. I don't understand. I don't understand it, but I don't. How do we know who it chooses?
Wow, that's simple.
Is it?
Heads for Hurst.
Right.
Squirrels have tails.
That's simple. What happened there?
I was trying to copy and paste something whilst talking to you, and obviously being a guy.
All right. Well, I could chop the whole out of that, and you will sound like a genius. All right.
I thought for a second it was going to give the horse a pint of bud.
Well, there's no need to be cruel to it. Top five face off.